Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is a little weird, not me, but the show. It is 6 o'clock in the evening in Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. My name is Andrea Simintov, and you are listening to Pull Up a Chair. Crazy doing it at this time of the day, a little bit nervous. It's not a permanent thing. This is not a permanent change. So for all of you who are like OCD and whatever the other things are that you can't take change, don't worry. It's only for now. It is because this is an only in Jerusalem. This is an only in Israel fact. Our engineer is going on a religious retreat. So because he's going on a religious retreat, I have to do the show now. But don't worry, it'll be on again tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock, 7 a.m. So when you hear the show tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., know that the chat room is totally moot. Chat room is open. Hit chat room. We're going to talk today, kooky kooky. I expect to see some new faces in there. It is Erev Rosh Hashanah. It is the eve of Rosh Hashanah. Not exactly, but as far as Jews go and having done our work, we're working on it. We're preparing ourselves. We're preparing our mouths to speak properly. We're preparing our dress, our attitude, our homes, and we are getting ready for our days of both awe and judgment. So it is very, very exciting. So we're going to talk a lot of Torah today. I'm going to just hit upon a couple of fun things in the local news, but we're not going to spend the time. We have a lot of religious work to do, spiritual work to do, exciting work to do, and that's why you're tuning in today. Feels like Thursday, feels like I should be cooking, but guess what? When the show's over, I'm going out for falafel with the big guy. So my name is Andrea Simintov. This is Pull Up a Chair on a breezy, almost autumn day in early September in Jerusalem. I'm going to see you on the other side.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Back, Andrea Simintov speaking from Holy Jerusalem, and you are listening to, I forgot to shut this off, a lot of noise. You are listening to Pull Up a Chair. Okay, so first of all, let me send my greetings. Hello, hello to my friends in the U.S., Canada, Israel, of course, like duh, Spain. Very nice, Spain. I guess you listen in at this time. The U.K., Germany, Argentina, Norway, South Africa, my other backyard, Sweden, Brazil, and Australia. I know, wink, wink, who's listening in from Australia. Okay, so this is the first segment of the show. We have a lot of Torah to cover, but there's a whole bunch of stuff I do want to just quickly in the news. I don't want to waste today's show on stuff that is so vulgar. Of course, we're drowning in the vulgar, but we don't want to drown in vulgar as we stand at the cusp of the most special time on the Jewish calendar, Unlike the non-Jewish calendar, where the new year is a time of revelry, abandon, drinking, resolutions that really are destined to be broken, this is a very, very pensive time for us, a time of great personal reflection, and a time of phenomenal gratitude. What do I mean by phenomenal gratitude? The gratitude with the understanding that we are so flawed. We are so, well, I don't know about you guys, but I know on a personal level, I'm pretty unworthy. And here I am going to stand before our God in heaven, raise my fists in the air and say, gimme, gimme, gimme. Because this part of the year is set aside. There's no tough love in Yiddishkeit, in Judaism. There is unconditional love. As flawed as we are, as damaged as we might be, God is saying, what is it, Bubby? What is it that you want? Let's work together. And you know, the funny thing is, it's a time of great reflection, great prayer. But does God really need our prayers? I mean, if I don't ask, if I don't bless that apple on the table, I have a whole bunch of apples. Oh, I have some nice pears my husband bought. He did the shopping. He's been trained. Anyway, when I take up a beautiful Basque pear, if I don't say a bracha, a blessing on it, does that mean that suddenly the other pears will disappear from the bowl? Of course not. It means that I have this rare opportunity to emulate our God in heaven. And so much the same for the holidays. We'll get to the big stuff in a minute. But first of all, I just wanted to say the big news for the day, the happy news for the day, the winning news for the day is that apparently U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley is going to serve as the president of the U.N. Security Council starting this month. Well, I have to tell you, For we in the Zionist camp, this is very, very happy news. But I was laughing with the engineer before. we Jews don't do well with good news. You know, somehow I, A, don't trust it, and B, we're very used to defending ourselves, not having a fair voice, not feeling that we're being given an honest platform. And suddenly, somebody who has been nothing except accurate in her depiction of Israel is going to be standing on the front row in our defense. And I am, like Jews before me, for a millennium before, I am nervous. Okay, let's not talk about Nir Barkat. I am sick of the UN. UNRWA, United Nations Relief Workers Association. Yeah, I don't think so. I'm not going to talk about them. And last thing before I start getting lofty. Oh, yeah, Lieberman. Avigdor Lieberman, the chubby Russian that everybody loves to hate. Avigdor Lieberman is aiming. He's got a whole plan, and he is aiming to recruit 3.5 million new immigrants to the Jewish state in the next decade. Well, I got to tell you, my husband's out shopping now and the supermarkets are full. So with another 3.5 million, it's going to get crowded. But you know what? It'll be an affirmation. We have a country. We're supposed to live in our country. And as I have said before, to those of you who listen early on Thursday mornings, if we do not live here, if we do not make the Israel Zionist narrative part of our tomorrow plans, not next year, not next decade, tomorrow, then we will be actually declaring that our enemies are correct, that it does not belong to us. Well, you know what? I voted with my feet. I voted with my body. I voted with my children. And it is not always a picnic here, and it ain't Disney. But you know what? I sleep well at night. To live in the diaspora is to be living in the parts of the world that we were spit out to. Okay, let's get a little lofty. Engineer, give me a time. Throw a time up. How much time do I have? And we're going to go on. Okay, the lefty in me. There is a little bit of a lefty in me. I have a walking partner, and she's a little surprised. And you must be surprised listening to me on this station, because even though I am a little bit, hold on, throw these papers away, of a right-wing reactionary, that has been the accusation of some, I have to tell you, I'm a sucker for that, you know, hands across the water stuff. And there is a new phenomenon in Israel. It's a singing group. I don't even know if you call it a singing group. It's like a happening. They post these public notices all over Facebook, and they're called Kululam. Kululam. We have a sound. I hope I don't break the microphone. It goes, okay. It's a celebration. It's a Middle Eastern. It's actually Arabic and Sephardic, North African. It's how you celebrate. So the Kululam, the singers, they do these happenings and these singing happenings, and they get people from all over, every walk of life. And you know, the Jerusalem is heralded to be the cradle of the three great world religions. We'll have another discussion on that. See if anybody's yelling at me yet in the chat room. Not yet. Okay. And they got together recently at the Tower of David, magnificent structure, over 1,000 strangers from the three religious groups, three-part harmony. I don't know the name. Somebody will have to tell me the name of that director. He's like this really funky guy, very tattooed with dreadlocks and a little yarmulke. And they all sang Bob Marley's One Love. I have to tell you, go onto YouTube, type in Kululam, Kollulam, One Love. And I have to tell you, put aside political differences, put aside the occasional bursts of rage. It's very moving, very beautiful. And if only we could be as Woodstocky as they are. All right. I don't know who from my high school is listening in, but when I was in high school, I was a drama. I know, there's a big shock. I was a drama student. And I was in a play, and we used to get plays, not the musicals, but the dramatic presentations. I think they were selected on however cheap the royalties were. They would look. There was no internet in those days, and there was a book. And whoever had the cheapest royalties, you know, $6 to put on this play, we would put it on. And I was in a play called Web of Murder. It was a British play. So right again, you know, it's not funny. Oh, wait a second. We have people listening in from the UK. It was a riot. Serious. Fabulous. Web of Murder. Arf, arf. Blech. Anyway, we practiced. It was like Shakespeare. We practiced day and night. And you had, there was trap doors. And then there was the requisite strange butler and the maid. And the maid was a weirdo. And of course, there was the spotty American boyfriend. And it was as stereotypical as a play as you could get. And we did it. It was a very dramatic piece, and it was very, very scary. And we were very involved. We were in the trees. We didn't see the forest. And we go on, it was a high school theater. You know those theaters, like 900 seats, proscenium arch. And as we are doing the play, we get up there, and we're giving our all, our high school theatrical best. And the audience is rolling. They are rolling on the floor laughing. And we're on the stage, and tears are rolling down our cheeks because we're humiliated. This is a very serious play, and they are laughing. And during the intermission, our beloved director ran backstage, and he said, "Guys, I got to tell you something. I didn't know. This is a comedy." And we said, "Really?" And we went out, and we did the second act. And like many high school students before us and after us, we mugged, we acted it up, we panned, we were funny. We told the audience what to think. And you know what the audience did? Nothing, not a reaction. Because when you tell people how to react, they have no reason. We learned our lesson. The next night we did it like Shakespeare, and the audience laughed. Why am I telling this? Pray tell. It is the same thing with Torah and spirituality. You know, are we so busy, those of us who are observant, those of us who, regardless of what our belief systems are we so busy with ritual, the costumes, the levels of kashrut, kosher, of what we eat, what schools we send our children to, that we are somehow blinded and we miss the menschlichkeit, the being a human being to one another? Are we so involved with our pronunciations and the perfections of the tunes of how we are praying that we become deaf to the pleas of those around us? Just like we say then, I like to say, trust the playwright. We didn't know. We thought we were smarter. We thought we could project and dictate and bully those who were there to react the way we wanted. You know what? Trust the playwright. Trust the blueprint. Trust the Torah. And if we don't get it or something makes sense, it just means we have to work a little bit harder. This is Andrea Simintov. Pull up a chair. I'll see you on the other side.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
And we're back. Andrea Simintov, pull up a chair in holy, blessed, beautiful Jerusalem. The streets are buzzing. People are getting ready for the Chagim, the high holy days or the days of awe. All right, I've been accused by Larry of still being kind of dramatic. That's okay, Larry. You can stand in line behind my husband and children. All right. So as we enter, you know, there's a lot of preparation that goes on for this. It's more than clothing. It's more than dipping the apple in the honey. It is more than, what else shall I say? It's even more than Yiska, remembering our dead. I get note letters all the time. Interestingly enough, I get a lot of these letters from non-Jews who are fascinated. I think we Jews, they say that if you're a member of the holy, the priestly sect, you can do this kind of thing with your fingers. You can spread, you know, the two last fingers, the middle finger, and everybody else can't do it. Well, I don't know a Jew who can't do it. Well, we Jews are very good at the ch sound. It comes naturally, and it's very painful when you see people try to ch alongside of us. And those who have chosen Judaism, we can always spot them because they're not so good at the ch. We're born with it. So anyway, I'm going to teach you a new word today as we prepare for these beautiful days coming up. And the name of this word, the word is called Midos. Midos. In English, it would be transliterated to M-I-D-O-S, modern Hebrew, Midot, M-I-D-O-T. And it translates to the measure of the man. Now, when I used to take my children shopping, I used to say to the store lady, you know, do you have this in another midah? What midot do you have? What sizes? You know, what in the world? Are we, are Jews just insisting on shopping? Are you going to give me a lesson in clothing and an inseam? No. In the traditional language, and I want you to take notes, I want you to write to me, keep writing to me, I love the letters. The name of something is indicative of the essence of that thing. The same way I taught you way back that the word rachmanis, mercy, rachmanut, actually connects to the word rechem, the womb. Rachmanis, mercy, is an indigenously female trait. A man can be a merciful man, but he cannot truly be merciful unless his life is interweaves with women, with holy, wise, compassionate women. So the same thing, the word devar can mean a thing, but it's the same thing as a word. A word is a devar, and a thing is a devar. For anybody who kind of has a Jewish consciousness, even when you speak English, you refer to personal character traits as the word mida, or multiply as midos. Where are we going with this? It is fascinating that the word midos literally doesn't refer to personality at all. Here I'm saying it's a personality trait, but has nothing to do with personality. It does mean measurements, dimensions. To illustrate, one of the volumes of the Talmud is called Midos. And it discusses the sizes and various sections in the rooms of the ancient temple complex that stood in Jerusalem. So this leads us to the question, why are one's personality traits called one's dimensions? Aha, getting closer. Another puzzling question along the same line of thought, I have a note here, is that when someone has achieved personal greatness, even when speaking in English, Jewish consciousness refers to him as an Adam Gadol, or simply Gadol. Adam Gadol literally translates as a large person, and Gadol just means big. And Adam Gadol is not a compliment if a guy weighs 300 pounds. And Adam Gadol is a compliment if he's compassionate, if he's wise, if he's a boss that one can speak with, a father who has time and room on his lap for a crying child. These are Adam Gadols. Now, the most famous Gadol in the Jewish world, I don't even think that this is it's not up to a question, was the great Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Feinstein, look it up, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Now, his great-grandson often spoke about the Rav, and he said that Rav Feinstein barely weighed 100 pounds. This is true. It was known. He was a very physically small man. When Rabbi Feinstein died, 250,000 people turned up for his funeral procession. And as you can imagine, he did an incredible amount of good for an enormous amount of people. This is what we mean by the term gadol, huge, big. When we refer to someone's physical expression in the world, that is, his body, we use terms like pounds, inches. These are physical dimensions. When we refer to somebody's spiritual expression in the world, we have to talk in terms of midos. These are spiritual dimensions. It is the sum total of who we are. It is critical that now we are talking about this at this time of year, because we are nothing. God, judgment, the entire plan that's being laid out has nothing to do with our heel height, the quality, what do they call it? The dinier, how do you say dinier? I don't know the word, dinar of the stockings, or did we get a new pair of jewelry? If somebody is compassionate, someone is wise, someone is disciplined, we might say that he has good midos. And we're really implying that his personality is a better expression of his soul. The better one's midos are, the bigger he is as a person. This is an incredible thing that I'm sharing now. I wish I were making it up, but I'm not. The key to the expression of one's soul lies in being a good person, deeply committed to change, to growth. And the bigger we are as a person, the better a human being we are. I must finish this particular section and tell you that I don't think it's a rumor. I think it's a true story that Ralph Feinstein didn't meet his wife-to-be. She came from a very illustrious family, and he didn't meet her until they stood together under the chuppah. His reputation was impeccable. This was a big catch. He was known to be a very fine person. And his wife-to-be was a young girl, and she was allowed to see him visiting his future father-in-law. She peeked into the room, and she turned, and she said, how can I marry him? He's so short. And the answer was, in that family, they measure from the neck up. I needed to share that story with you. Okay, we're flipping the pages. Here we go. Midos can be negative. Midos can be positive. Some of the things we want to share. Okay, I told you about the theater. Larry called me ultra dramatic. I remember 23 Rosh Hashanahs ago, I went to shul. I was in Israel for the first time 23 years ago. I stood. It was a new synagogue. I had come from a very fancy shul. Shul is Yiddish for synagogue. And I see that there's a woman davening, praying, just a few rows behind, in front of me. I could see her. I had a very perfect vision of her. She was right in my crosshairs, and she was rocking silently. Occasionally, she was bending her body in such pain. She was kind of leaning into, you know, we're very big into personal space, the personal space of others around her. And she was a little bit distracting, and I couldn't take my eyes off of her. And in her silent animation, the women around her were kind of, they appeared almost, how do I say, visibly oblivious. They were visibly pretending that she was not, that her prayers were not at all affecting them. They were creating a kind of an impenetrable space around her. And I looked and I looked, and suddenly, you know, I almost fell over the row in front of me because I couldn't understand all the Hebrew. And I noticed that it was Esther Waxman. Esther Waxman, whose son, Nachshon Waxman, had been murdered exactly 1 year earlier, murdered by terrorists, Arab terrorists, and buried the night of his murder. And the country had sat vigil, waiting 7 nights, praying for his release. And he was murdered, butchered, and buried the year prior. And I must have to tell you, I, playing God, thinking God, what was my reaction? Oh, isn't it nice to see her in shul? Such a lofty person. No, I became filled with rage. And I said, she doesn't have to pray. She paid. What does she have to ask for? What hands? How could she even believe in a God to raise her hands and say, gimme, 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 gimme? There's no gimme. But you know what? I'm not God. And Esther needed to pray. Andrea needed to pray. I learned this. I had a client just yesterday who was telling me about a woman in her shul who was crying so loud during the tefillah, during the prayer, that it really was distracting. And my friend is a cancer survivor. And she knows that a year earlier she would have found this woman's prayers to be distracting. And one of her friends said to her later, didn't you find it distracting? Wasn't she kind of annoying? And my client turned to them and said, no, she gave me a knock on the head and she reminded me of exactly what my prayer is supposed to feel like. We're coming into the home stretch, guys. Let's think about what it is we want to demand. Andrea Simito, pull up a chair. I'm going to see you on the other side.
I'm John O'Vandor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind,
every Thursday.
And we're back. Okay. I think the engineer is a little overexcited to be going on his spiritual retreat. He's downright giddy. Okay. Home stretch. This is the show that's going to be playing and taking us in Sunday night. My cakes are baking. My husband's out looking for a fish head that I won't touch. Very excited. I don't know about the rest of you. But Israel, really, you know, I have a pool outside my window, not a personal pool, I wish. It's a community pool. And up until 2-3 days ago, children were running around, it was full, and suddenly there's nowhere other than Israel to be at this time of year. Yeshivas have started, the schools They've already begun. People are cooking. My building smells good, I have to tell you, and none of that is coming from my house. My apartment doesn't smell that good. I just made my menu. But you can feel it everywhere you go. So I'm asking you, because I'm asking myself, how are we preparing? And I had this thought, we'll see if I get to it after. You know, Rabbi Maimon, or Maimonides, brings down, he says, you know, it is necessary for every person to see himself or herself. Some of this is paraphrased, okay, because I'm not really so good at translating the Hebrew. But you have to see yourself throughout the entire year as being evenly balanced between innocence and guilt. And we look upon the whole world also as it's evenly balanced between innocence and guilt. You know, if you commit a sin, so much weighs on our shoulders that if we commit a sin somehow, like a pebble in the water, we tilt ourselves and the whole world to that side of guilt. And in some way, we are part of the destruction. But if we perform a righteous act, a holy act, a world healing act, we're tilting ourselves and the entire world to the side of virtue, and bringing about our own salvation and the salvation of others. Now, is this literal? So there's a Hasidish thought, the thought of, who is this? Rabbi Chaim of Volozhin, that the power to redeem is the very definition of being created in God's image. I think of this very often. I know that, like, as I was a child, you know, children have these enormous egos, and it's almost a birthright. It's a lovely birthright of children, that they think that the world spins on their every behavior, their every action. When something goes wrong, they think the world will collapse. But they also think that they're kings of the world, children who are raised in loving, healthy home, children who feel like nothing from early childhood on, there's something wrong there. So there's something about us, because we are God connected, that we kind of do feel, I can make a change in this world. And then, even as a metaphor, you know, it's an awesome responsibility, the power given to man. We can build or destroy not just ourselves, but our communities. I often bring down the fact that the word for fire is Eish. Many of us have heard of Eish HaTorah, the fire of Torah, the burning of Torah. But you know, the spelling of the word Eish, Aleph Yud Shin, is the exact same spelling of the word Ish, which means man, because man is fire. And you know what? Fire can meld, fire can build, fire can weld, fire can change the world. But we also know that fire can destroy beyond repair, and so can man. So in a way, man, we're being given this phenomenal opportunity, and it is our obligation, every single one of us, to save not only ourselves, but to give God a gift in return for his giving us this glorious and even malleable life. I segue. Do you hear the sounds of Jerusalem outside my window? Hello, Jerusalem. Here we go. Ambulances and police cars. All right. Not to be off topic. The great prophet Isaiah said, and this is a quote, "For thus said the Lord, the creator of heaven, who alone is God, who formed the earth and made it, who alone established it. He did not create it to be a wasteland. He formed it for habitation. I am the Lord, and there is none else." Building or rebuilding our world is the gift that our lives, our very existence, can give back to God. Now, this Rosh Hashanah, tradition has it, as we know, that the world begins anew. It is not New Year's Eve. There is no revelry. There is no Times Square ball falling. It's up to us, baby. So the question remains, on the morning after, two mornings after, we light our first Yontif candles, will we indeed be changed? Will we have immersed ourselves in rebuilding ruptured relationships with those who don't agree with us, Or are we going to still be so mired in our impenetrable positions? And you can take whatever I'm saying and take it to wherever you want. Our impenetrable positions of my way or the highway, that we stay stubbornly blind to division, to visions, and the need to repair the tears in the fabric of achdut, brotherhood. I'm talking now first to the Jews out there who know very little about Jewish observance, and they go to synagogue really begrudgingly once or twice a year maybe. I'm asking you first to look at those of us who try our darndest, claim to try our darndest, to perform the commandments not as primitives or nerds or religious reactionaries, but instead as porous, blood-filled children of God who find comfort and promise in the virtues in honoring tradition. Talk to us. And you know what? If we're not smart enough, sensitive enough, astute enough to see you on the sidelines, invite yourselves over, ask questions, demand answers, learn who you are. And if the answers are not warm, embracing, satisfactory, ask someone else. Some of the PR coming out of the Orthodox camp, I got to tell you, is brutal, it is raw, it is ugly, and it is biased. Words hurt you, they hurt all of us. And we do, should, must feel great shame when members of the club, our Orthodox club, are acting in opposition to God's commandments. But I'm not just talking to you. That's easy. Hey, I'm a frummy. I'm religious. I think I have all the answers. Not. I'm talking to my brothers, my sisters, who claim to be Torah observant. We can't give ourselves a pass and fall into the trap of arrogance. We have to think about our brothers and sisters and feel their alienation. You know what? We're not exempt from guilt. We're responsible. If we cannot open up our Sabbath tables because the familiar rhythms might change, might be altered, then maybe we need to revisit our expectations of ourselves. Because just the same way we don't want to be criticized and chastised by our Father in heaven, you know, criticizing with those with whom we don't agree, it has never, never been proven to be a successful method. You know, I'm reminded, off script, I'm very much reminded and ashamed of the young people who throw stones on the Sabbath. They pass in cars and they scream, Shabbos! Shabbos! I have to tell you, any God-loving Jew has to cringe in shame. Are these youngsters representative of our best efforts? Can our Father feel nachas at such displays? Understanding others' feelings doesn't require agreeing with them, but it does require an act of building. When speaking to each other, let's remember that every Jew possesses a spark of the Holy One. With this in mind, how can we dismiss one another? For shame, left, right, Orthodox, Reform, Conservative, religious, Zionist, Hasidisha, Yeshivisha, not religious. Those of us who live in Israel and in other parts of the world, all of us are standing naked now in front of God, every single one of us. Even if we don't believe, we need redemption. You know, the man who prays in front of us is called the Shaliach Tzibor. He's the spokesman for the public. He has to be 30 years old and he has to be married. Why? Because a single guy can't do it? Because it has to be someone who understands the muck, the mire, and the mess of real relationships. If he's going to pray for me, he has to know what it is to be disappointed and things not working out the way that he may have hoped. He has to perhaps have a child who isn't coming through, or is nagging, or is not filled with the promise that he, you know, hoped for. Let's do for one another the same that we want for ourselves. Let's use the forum of prayer, forum of the Chagim, the holidays, forum of standing in front of God and shoulder to shoulder with one another. And let's bridge our differences this year, starting now. Together, we can leave a legacy of tolerance for our children, a legacy of tolerance for our non-Jewish neighbors and friends. Tolerant, warm discourse, respect for each other, a spark of holiness for every one of us. Let's bless each other. Amen, amen. Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach from Jerusalem.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling from the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.